we've been listening to Allemand pour tout le monde by Kinji Bunch. The musicians are the fabulously cool Sybarite Five. Welcome to our third hour of Morning Blend. I'm your host, Dory Nutt, and I chose that first piece in honor of my guest in the studio right now, Dr. Dave Ragsdale, head of the music department at UAH. He's here to tell us about the Constellation Concert Series that his department sponsors, and the series commences tonight. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Well, I played that Kinji Bunch piece because we all heard it here last year on one of the excellent Constellation concerts. That's where I learned about Sybarite Five, and now I'm a huge fan of theirs. And Dave, you guys have been putting on these Constellation concerts for a few years now. Why do you think it's important to bring musicians into play for your college music students? I mean, doesn't it take time away from their practice and their study?
Ah, yes. Well, it's been our mission, really, from the very beginning with Constellation to do kind of a few things simultaneously with our guest artists. And one is to provide, an inspirational experience for our students and faculty and an aspirational experience for our students who are pursuing music, too.
Excellent.
And so I think that's an important component of the presence of our guest artists. But then also we choose guest artists like Sybarite Five. We have a guest artist coming up this season called Invoke. Their tagline is, it's not classical music, but it's not classical. We're trying to break down barriers and expose our students and the greater public to, a non-stereotypical chamber music series.
Wonderful. Well, these concerts are, of course, open to students, and they're also there for the public to attend. They can get tickets and come to these. Do you feel like the UAH Music Department has any role in the musical lives of North Alabama general public? I mean, any obligation to them?
Interesting question, and absolutely. If we're not producing these concerts, who is? Mm-hmm. Well, in our community, we're fortunate to have a lot of partners in the arts that do produce some wonderful experiences for our public. The Huntsville Chamber Music Guild is a great partner of ours. Of course, the Huntsville Symphony Orchestra, numerous community choruses. So we do have partners in the arts that are providing artistic experiences for our public. But they're doing so, their funding's quite heavily dependent on ticket revenue, and the financial model is a difficult one to manage. At UAH, it's a public university, and we have the luxury of being part of a greater entity that provides funding for just such experiences. So therefore, we do have an obligation to the public, and the public is also our students. We do have an obligation, I believe, to serve the public in a way that broadens their musical experiences that we can offer to Huntsville and to our campus, and also to provide some kind of new music and diverse music that sometimes our partners in the arts they have to rely on sometimes the stalwarts of
the popularity
of the repertoire. And we are fortunate not to have to rely on that to pay the bills. And so therefore, we do have, in my opinion, increased obligation to perform and program non-Western music and non-stereotypical classical music experiences.
I guess a good example of that, I remember when you had a group called Room Full of Teeth.
Right.
And the Tuvan Throat Singers. You brought some excellent groups here to campus.
That's exactly right. And our community benefits when we have Tuvan Throat Singers here. Mm-hmm. Our community benefits from Room Full of Teeth, which have now gone on to win Grammys and Pulitzers.
They are very popular now.
But we caught them while their star was rising.
Exactly.
But that's been the mission of the Constellation series from the very outset. And this season will be no different.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. Well, I'm glad that the UH Music Department is such a face of the university to a lot of the musically minded community. So I think you guys do a good job. Well, let's talk about the Constellation concert taking place tonight, 7:30, Roberts Recital Hall. You were featuring some of the music faculty of UAH in kind of an all-star concert. And let's see, some of the performers that'll be on tonight, you have soprano Maya Osuga, Melody Ng, and Laura Lay. Laura is a well-known oboist in the area here. We have have. Ron Guthrie and his wife Susan are performing a piece with Malia Shrout. It's a piece for two pianos and narrator, and that sounds very interesting to me. I know Susan Hazen Guthrie does such a wonderful job with these, and I'm looking forward to it. Let's see, you have a trombone quartet playing, among other things, Mr. Sandman.
Right.
And if fans of Billy Orton and Billy Bargatze and Kevin Bounds and Bill Connell want to come out and see Mr. Sandman and maybe some other trombone pieces, I know they all have a lot of fans. And then also Billy Bargatze will be playing some jazz with John Miller. We've got all of these UAH faculty and a few friends from outside. Why do you think it's important to give these faculty members a stage in front of their own students?
Again, a great question. And it goes back to the providing an inspirational and aspirational music experience for our students. But also, it's the way we performers maintain our performance prowess too. It is very important, in fact, essential for professional musicians to practice the performance art.
What they preach also.
Exactly. And so keeps us sharp as performers and as musicians, and also provides our students with aspirational performances, model, for instance, of what they will likely become or hope to become.
And tonight features a lot of small chamber ensembles as opposed to just a single musician on stage. I know that the faculty members, well, all musicians love to get together to play. So this is a great opportunity for them to have a little musical camaraderie together. And probably they're a couple of them. I know I used to be this way when I would play in situations like this. I feel like I've got to be at the top of my game playing in front of my students because I've told them what I think should be or not to be done, and I know they're going to be watching me with an eagle eye, whereas the general public may not know what I preach, but...
That's right.
So
absolutely. And anytime you're collaborating with your peers, there is an element of camaraderie, as you mentioned, but there's also an element of not wanting to disappoint your peers in your performance.
Yes.
In your performance ability. And so it does keep us sharp, and it also simultaneously builds community within our department and on our campus.
Yes. Once you've played with somebody, you are friends for life.
That's right.
Well, let's listen to one of the works that will be on the program tonight. Tonight you'll have soprano Martha Browse, violinist Lisa Wiggins, and our WLRH friend, pianist Ron Guthrie. They'll perform Richard Pearson Thomas's work called Don't Look for Me Anymore, and it's part of a larger song cycle called Race to the Sky. It was written in response to the events of 9/11. Of course, we just commemorated the anniversary of that yesterday. Let's take a listen, and then we'll talk about the piece.
Don't look for me. Thank you.
Don't Look for Me Anymore, from the song cycle of Richard Pearson Thomas called Race to the Sky. This was written in response to the tragic events of 9/11, and it was premiered exactly 1 year after the towers fell. This is one of the pieces that will be performed tonight on the Constellation Concert at UAH, tonight in Roberts Hall at 7:30 concert, and it's very fitting on this day after September 11th, I think. Well, Dave, let's talk about your role in the UAH Music Department. You are chair of the department, but you also serve as conductor of the very fine wind ensemble there. And I know in the past you have programmed not just standard repertoire, but some works that commemorate events or people. What's your philosophy of educating the whole music student? Do you try to make any connection with events in the world through music?
Well, absolutely. And I really think that... I won't get this quote exactly right, but Nadia Boulanger said, the soul is born of beauty and requires beauty to sustain it. And I think in times like this, September 12th or 11th, or times when we're remembering, for instance, Sandy Hook and other disasters and tragedies, that's when we're most challenged as humans to remember that beauty is really what sustains our soul.
Well said.
And so I think it's imperative that we musicians kind of take this up, because we can, we have access to beautiful tools. Mm-hmm. And we can bring that beauty to, even if it's just to one more human. We actually talked about this in a class yesterday of mine, in the wind ensemble. We were remembering 9/11 in our rehearsal yesterday. Mm-hmm. I say we were remembering. Really, only a few of us in the class nowadays remember 9/11. The others in the class who are 18 or 19 now don't remember.
They were not even alive.
And so, but we had a discussion about the power of music in these times as we remember tragedies, and I related it to the students as that experience when you're at a drive-thru and you come up to pay and the attendant says, oh, the car ahead of you, the complete stranger ahead of you has already paid for you. Yeah. And that's such a warm feeling of, and it's also a feeling of kind of awe of generosity, mm-hmm. right? And as musicians, we have the ability to kind of give that gift to another person.
Right.
And when we do that as musicians or artists in general, it ripples out. And so if somebody, for instance, was touched by the music you just played on the air, then in some way that may ripple out from that person to yet another person. Mm-hmm. And I believe that when we do this on large scale, when our little children are going to music class or going to art class and creating paintings, and when on this big scale we're involved in the arts, we're creating beauty, and that's the beauty our soul needs to sustain itself, and it ripples out, and it really does make the world turn. Sorry to get all philosophical about it, but I'm wearing my red, white, and blue tie today because of 9/11 yesterday, because I saw some social media chatter that resonated with me, which was like, we liked the America better on September 12th, 2001, right? Because it was so patriotic and such a time of coming together. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of resonated with me. But, you know, patriotism is maybe more easily apprehended than some other than some other kind of healing moments. But I think music can speak to that. And if we have a moment, I'll just share another story with you.
Yes, we do. Yes.
Related to that, last spring, my wind ensemble performed a brand new work called Into the Silent Land. The piece was written by a friend of mine, Steve Danu, who wrote the piece for the remembrance of the Sandy Hook tragedy.
Oh.
Steve himself went to Sandy Hook, and he actually hesitated for many years to even write a piece, that it may not be good enough to honor those children.
Yeah.
And so he finally did write the piece. It's a gorgeous but tragic work. And in the end of the work, a narrator steps to the stage to recite a poem. Remember Me is the poem. And it's basically a remember me after I'm gone, and the times we held hands and rode roller coasters, and you know, and let those memories live on with you, and not the anger about the situation. So that's the essence of the poem. I'm sorry, I can't recall it line for line at the moment. But nonetheless, in my performance of it last spring, my daughter, Ella, did the narration for us at the VBC. She did the narration. And I was struck, but I didn't make the connection until the day before the concert, that actually Ella is the age those kids are or should be now.
Wow.
And I get to be the dad of the kid that
did not attend Sandy Hook on that terrible day.
Yeah. You know. And anyway, the power of that moment, and I get to be the dad of the kid reciting the poem instead of the dad of the kid that's no longer with us. And that was such a powerful moment. Even for a jaded professional musician like me, like we professional musicians can become numb to the gifts that we have, the generosity of beauty that we are capable of bringing to a situation or bringing to people. Sometimes we can become numb to that, but there are moments in the repertoire that can make us reconnect to, but it can bring a very powerful statement to a very tragic time. And so the power of music, I think my faith in the power of music has grown over time. Oh. And so it's an important, I think, maybe more important now than ever that we're teaching our kids to draw pictures and make pottery and
Sing songs.
I mean, yeah. It's more important than ever.
Right, right. Well, you know, I'd ask you the question, do you sometimes commemorate events? And I see that you're doing a wonderful job of getting your music students to look beyond the notes on the page to find what emotions or events they might represent and give a gift to others. So, yeah, that's beautifully stated. Let's take another few minutes to listen to music that will be on the program tonight. This doesn't commemorate an event, but for me, it has the effect of making me look at the world with rosier glasses, maybe. Mm. Tonight, we'll hear the lovely Rosa Richardson, your flute professor, playing with classical guitarist Phil Weaver on Jose Luis Merlin's Progressions para Pauline. Let's listen to a little now. An example of some of the wonderful music you can hear tonight on the Constellation Concert being presented at Roberts Hall on the UAH campus. It's at 7:30. There are tickets available at the door, or you can go to uah.edu/music and find out about tickets for this. But I'm sure you'll be able to buy tickets at the door as well. And in case you're just tuning in, this is Morning Blend, and we have Dr. Dave Ragsdale, head of the UAH Music Department, in for a conversation about tonight's concert, and also his music education philosophy. So, Dave, you're a great leader and cheerleader for the music department here at UAH. What, in your opinion, makes this department so great?
Well, if I said the people, that'd sound cliche, but it is. It's the people. It's our secret sauce. Is the community of folks who teach at UAH are dedicated to this concept of educating the whole student. And so we have wonderful camaraderie and community. You'll see that tonight in the performances. You'll see that our faculty enjoy performing music, and that joy spills out into their teaching. And when that happens, success happens. And you know, our students, I think to a person, would tell you that if there's any secret sauce in the music department at UAH, it's the community of students and teachers that make it really special.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so if a student were thinking of majoring in music, UAH would be a great place to start their career. But when you speak to budding young musicians, I know you travel around a lot and conduct honor bands, meet different musicians, and you meet kids that are contemplating studying music in college, how do you justify a career in music? I mean, it's probably not a job where they'll make a whole lot of money. And that might be what some of their parents are interested in. What do you say to those kids?
Well, first of all, let me say, I think it takes a lot of courage to grow up and be who you're meant to be. So sometimes that courage is manifested in making a decision to study something in college for the sake of learning more about it, not because there's a paycheck at the end of it. Now, are there paychecks at the end of it? I get paid to do my job. Yeah. There certainly are avenues for musicians to earn a living wage. But I'd like to think that when we talk about what are the benefits of studying music in college, I'd like to start that conversation at least zoomed out just a little bit more from that. And I understand, as a parent myself who is raising two almost college students.
Someday you'll be writing those tuition checks.
That's exactly right. And so I do understand that worry. But I feel like music, increasingly, we don't know, for instance, what the jobs will be when my children are in the workforce. We don't know what those jobs are right now. Just like 10 years ago, we couldn't have anticipated some of the professions that exist today. But the practice of music and the learning of music in an apprentice style, individual learning method. So music is taught one-to-one, and that's one of our that's one part of the secret sauce in the music department, too, in any music department, that the age-old practice of teaching and learning music is done in one-to-one instruction. Very rare.
Yeah.
So students who come to UAH to major in music aren't taught in a lecture class of 250 kids. They're taught one-to-one. Their theory class may have only a dozen students in it. It's a super intimate program that allows for us to, A, customize their education, make it something that they think they want to pursue, and be flexible enough in the customization of their education that should they change decisions or directions mid-college career, we can accommodate that. If, for instance, they think they want to study horn performance, but then a year into the program decide that maybe music technology or recording or doing your job here, Dory, something like this in the technology field is more their speed, then they can do that and we can recalibrate their education and provide a customized education that goes with that grows with them over their college career. More now than ever, I've been in higher ed now for 20 years, more now than ever, 18-year-olds come in the door not knowing for sure what they want to do for the rest of their lives, and they shouldn't be forced to make that decision at age 18.
It's a tough one. There's a lot of pressure. Yeah.
There is a lot of pressure to know that. And so when we study music, we're doing so in a very safe environment, but we're doing it in a way that's very intentional, and the skills that you build in collaborating with other humans, the skills that you build in studying music that are inherent to the study of music, those skills are applicable and transferable to almost any other profession. Did you know that in 2010, music degrees were the number one undergraduate degree accepted in medical schools? Now, that data is old, but why might that be the case? That might be the case because we increasingly need doctors who are not just scientists, but also good communicators. And have a way of communicating with their patients that's genuine and caring. And that's what we do best in the arts, is creating collaborative spirit and collaborative atmosphere. And so I think the skills, and I could go on about the skills that you learn that are transferable to other to other professions, but I think the skills that we pursue in music are timeless. We've taught music this way since Pythagoras. And so we know that these skills will transcend time. So what are the jobs out there 10 years from now? Don't know, but I'm pretty sure
your
that
students
the
will
skills
be ready.
Will be ready and they'll be honed in their music pursuit.
Yeah. Well, I am sure that the present and future of the UAH Music Department are in very loving and capable hands. Those of you and your fellow musicians at UAH who will be presenting the first concert of their Constellation Series tonight at Roberts Hall at 7:30. And the public can get tickets at the door or online at uah.edu/music. And let's look ahead. You've got, this is a Constellation Series, and maybe just give us a heads up. Maybe people want to know what's coming up in the near future for the Constellation Series. What's next?
So next month on the Constellation Series is October 17th. Ken Orlip, horn professor, is giving a program of eclectic horn works with mixed media and all kinds of guest artists.
It's poetry going to be, and readings.
It's going to be an amazing evening. And again, it fits right into our mission for Constellation, which is breaking down the barriers to classical music and really inviting the public in and presenting classical music kind of with a twist. I think Ken's going to do a great job of that. And let me just mention, you know, something special that's coming up that is UAH related, but it's not about UAH. And that's this coming Sunday, if I may mention.
Sure.
There's a concert at First Baptist Church on Sunday at 5 that benefits the Aeolians, our world-class choir at our sister university, Oakwood.
Right here in Huntsville.
Here in Huntsville. They were in a tragic bus accident some months ago. Their bus caught fire. Their belongings burned. It was a very traumatic experience. Thankfully, none of them were injured. But they did... we are going to honor them, the community, entire community. I don't know if you've been talking about this.
Oh, sure. Billy Orton has been here to talk about it on the air. Jenny Kennedy spoke with him. And yeah, so we've been letting people know about the, I think the name of the concert is Beauty Out of Ashes.
It's Sunday at 5. So Our community partners in the arts are all represented, but also our academic partners, UAH, kind of linking arms with Oakwood and UNA and A&M, together presenting some music to benefit students in our community that don't attend UAH, but are our brothers and sisters in education and the arts. And so I think the concept of it's really beautiful. It's a free concert at First Baptist on Sunday. Our UAH choir is singing, and some of our UAH musicians are playing. So it should be a delightful afternoon concert, too. So lots of special programs that we produce at UAH, over 100 a year.
You guys are busy. Right. It just never ends, does it? And I can't let it go without saying, just to put a plug in, you guys are doing Peace on Earth this year, right?
That's right.
That's always so popular.
It has really become Huntsville's kind of signature holiday event.
It is. It's at the VBC in December.
It is. We are moving to a Saturday evening this year, Saturday, December 7th. Mm-hmm. And next week, actually, Monday, we'll be announcing the guest artist.
Okay.
So,
well, send me a text and let me know so we can get the word out as quickly as possible, because you guys have had some of the greatest guest artists for Peace on Earth.
It has been, and the community has really embraced Peace on Earth. Mm-hmm. It's something we're really proud of. We enjoy putting it on, and we enjoy it because the community enjoys it. Mm-hmm. And this year will be no different. We have an amazing guest artist.
I can't stand it.
I'm sorry. I just must tease it now, because we agreed yesterday in a meeting to announce next week. But I can tell you that tickets will go on sale October 1st.
Okay.
And it'll be Saturday, December 7th, down at the Von Braun Center Concert Hall.
I'm sure we will mention that one or two more times before that date.
I'm sure you will.
Okay. So while Dave and I were listening to music in here, while the music was playing, we were talking about, he has a former career in radio. Actually, when you were an undergrad, you did the ski reports for a radio station in Boone, North Carolina.
I did. Remember? Yes, I did.
Yes. So had to do that. So you have some previous experience. And also, I did not realize this, that you were the announcer at the Miami Hurricanes games?
Well, only for one event, and I was fired for that.
Tell us about that, Dave.
Well, I prefer my history as a ski reporter
to be the one at the top of
your result of weather, skier traffic, and other factors. So be aware of changing conditions for the Southeastern Ski Area Association. This is Dave Ragsdale saying, "Be aware and ski with care." That was my tagline.
Oh, that's good.
Right,
that's good.
But no, I did. We were talking here during the playing of some music that sometimes we can get distracted with the task at hand and even repeat ourselves on the air or in public. And I was announcing for the Miami Hurricanes one time only. They didn't ask me back. I think I know why. But I was announcing for the Miami Hurricanes. My job was to say, "Give me a C," and the whole stadium would yell C, and the marching band would run out and make a giant C. And then I would say, "Give me an A." And so on. We're going to spell Canes, but I got stuck on the letter N, and I repeated it. And so we did C-A-N-N-S.
Go Cans.
Yes, go Cans. And
that was your last time there.
It was my last time. Sadly, I was not invited back.
I just think that's a great story, though, because it makes me feel just slightly ever better about some of the horrible mistakes I make here. But no mistakes today. This has been great talking to you about the concert tonight and about what goes on just across campus from us in the music department at UAH.
Thank you for having me, Dory.
We're so glad you stopped by. Thanks, Dave. And we'll go out with another selection that will close the concert tonight. You'll have 6 string players on stage, some of your string faculty, Lisa Wiggins, Charles Hogue, their friends. They're going to be playing Tchaikovsky's String Sextet, Opus 70, also known as the Souvenir de Florence.